Well, good morning. Welcome to worship. It's good to have you with us today and hope you're encouraged and strengthened by your time together. And most of all, we hope that God is pleased by our offering of praise to him today. So welcome to our worship service. It's good to have you with us. Hopefully you're aware of this, but if not, our classes are meeting between our two services, the Kids Discovery, the Youth Impact, the adult classes, they're meeting from 10 to 10:50. So make your way to an appropriate class and have your kids involved in their appropriate class too. We have a chart on the table in the atrium, which is covering the next section of Revelation, which I'll be preaching through. You can grab it on your way out if you're one that likes to do study ahead of time and fill in the blanks, take it with you, or you just want to fill it in as we're going along, you're welcome to do that as well. And just for your information, Eldon Wilson's memorial service will be here on Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. So let's be praying for the Wilson family. Our Women's White Cross Mission Group, they're going to be gathering this Wednesday, 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. Take your choice which one you want to plug into. And they seem to have a great time together and helping very practically with the work in Africa. Our call to worship is Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Speaking of what the Father has done for the Son, Jesus Christ, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't it great for us to willingly bow our knee right now? Rather than have to be forced to do it one day when it's too late to respond to the Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that our knees can bow and tongue confess that you indeed are Lord over all. You're the great Savior. And now we want to, with our hearts and minds and our being, respond to you in worship. Pray that you'll be pleased by what happens. We pray for the Wilson family, that you will comfort them, strengthen them this week. Thank you that we are a body that you are making and building up under the headship of Jesus. Amen.
Rainbows love the rain. So on that positive note, let's sing a couple of praises to God. We'll start with number 124, O Magnify the Lord. Psalm 34:3 says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let's stand and sing. Revelation 5:12, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive honor and glory and praise. Let's continue singing, worthy is the Lamb, number 303.
Yeah. be seated.
Ah, worthy is the Lamb. How true that is. Our spotlight today is Chris Walker, and she's serving the Lord in Florida, but actually working with Wycliffe, who's reaching out all around the world. Maybe you've followed the prayer chains this week. Chris has been very concerned about her niece, Lindsay, where there's been bleeding in the frontal lobe of her brain, and they've ruled out tumor, but they're not sure exactly what it is. So we're going to pray for healing touch to Lindsay's life. Chris is involved in a lot of prayer initiatives, realizing that we need to seek God to bless the work of God. And so she tries to rally people behind prayer and just pray for her to be able to implement prayer initiatives in a very strategic way that will result in the kingdom of God advancing. There's approximately 2,000 languages that are either spoken or sign languages that do not have the Bible in their own language yet. So we want to see that erased in this generation, those 2,000 languages having the Bible in their own language. So let's remember Chris and all that's going on in her life, and let's remember the Lamb who is worthy. Well, let's pray. Father, we do thank you that we can pray for Chris, and we do pray for Lindsay, her niece, that they can figure out why the bleeding in the brain has been happening, and we pray for your healing touch. Thank you that they're strong in the faith in you and keep them strong and growing in you as well. We pray that you will guide Chris. I'm sure she's still missing Scott, and pray that you would comfort her and strengthen her and give her good relationships and companionship and fellowship in her church. We pray also that you will guide her in these prayer initiatives, knowing where to bring people together to rally and see advancements, mountains be removed through prayer. We pray also for these 2,000 languages, that you would bring about a rapid translation of all 2,000 languages, that people can read the Bible in their own mother tongue and come to believe in the Lamb and be saved. Father, I pray that you would give us a good week, that we will be wanting to serve you and make the most of every opportunity that you give us. We pray that we will be sensitive when you're saying, I want you to do this, and just trust you and go ahead and do it. We ask now, Lord, that you would comfort those who need comforting, those who are grieving the loss of a loved one, those who are rejoicing, we want to rejoice with them. We pray for our families that we can guide them to know you and follow in the paths of righteousness. Pray for our nation and some newly elected mayors and other leaders even this last week, and pray that they, more of them, would acknowledge you and turn to you for wisdom and how to lead the local authority you've given them and the leadership that is needed. Now, Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts that are very responsive to what the Spirit says. In Jesus' name, amen. Some years ago, I was bench pressing. It was a barbell and some weights on it, and I was doing the bench, lifted it off the thing, and all of a sudden, my left arm just gave way, and the entire thing fell to the floor on the left-hand side, just completely collapsed. And so that wakes you up pretty quick. I thought, what in the world is going on? Well, I accidentally put twice as much weight on one side than the other side and didn't double check to see if I'd put the big weight on the other side too, and it wasn't there. So I just simply couldn't handle all that weight, and it completely collapsed. And really the theme reason for it is because things weren't centered properly. Had they been centered properly, there would have been no issue with handling that weight. I think that's true of a lot of people's lives. Your life is not centered properly. And because it's not centered properly, that's why things are collapsing. That's why things aren't working very well. And the centered properly comes out in the second half of Revelation chapter 5. Where should we center our lives? Well, that comes out very strongly in the rest of Revelation 5. Of course, we realize it's on the Lord where we need to center properly, where things will have their proper balance. What we're going to learn from is three different songs. There's five songs altogether in Revelation 4 and 5. We've looked at two of them already, and now we're going to look at the remaining three. And all three of these songs of praise, we kind of join in, and it helps us put the focus where it needs to be put. And we're going to continue that list we started several weeks ago when we thought, what should I be praising the Lord about? I know I should be praising the Lord, but I kind of go dumb, not sure what to say in praising to God. And we began that list in chapter 4. Well, when you're not sure what to praise God about, use this and then focus on this. And now we add more to that list in these three songs that should just fill us with ways to praise the Lord that are very meaningful ways. Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 to 11, the next song is a new song to the Lamb. And this is about his redemption and about his salvation. That's what this new song is about. Like last week, we noticed in verse 7, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain, he's the only one worthy to take this book that's sealed shut, this scroll that's sealed shut in the Father's hand on the throne. And verse 8 says, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, one of those angelic groups around the throne, and the 24 elders, another angelic group around the throne, they fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. A harp is prominent in heavenly worship. We'll see it again in the book of Revelation later. There were different kinds of harps, different shapes, but commonly it would have 10 strings, and it was a way of just giving praise to the Lord. Well, both of these groups, the 24 elders and the four living creatures, are having harps at this time. They're also, on one hand, they've got the harp, and the other hand, they have these golden bowls full of incense. And notice here it's associated with the prayers of the saints. Who are the saints? Us. Christians, God's people, followers of the Lamb. They're the saints. Notice our prayers make it to heaven. In heavenly worship, here are these creatures holding harps to offer praise to God. And then the prayers of the saints, the incense with the prayers of the saints. This is drawing from Old Testament imagery. In the tabernacle, in the temple, right in front of the Holy of Holies, the very glorious presence of God, was this golden altar of incense. And on this would be offered incense, but it was symbolic of the prayers of the saints, the prayers of God's people coming before his presence and being heard. That's why David says in Psalm 141 and verse 2, Lord, may my prayer be counted as incense before you. This is so encouraging that our prayers make it to heaven. Our prayers are involved in heavenly worship. This isn't the first time we're going to see the prayers of the saints making an impact with God hearing in heaven and things happening on earth because of these prayers. And sometimes I realize we pray and we think, I don't think that went anywhere. I think those were words that just hit a wall, hit the ceiling, and got nowhere else. And you look at a passage and you say, wow, our prayers, our sincere prayers, they make it to heaven. And they're right there involved in heavenly worship in the presence of the Lord on the throne and the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here are these creatures. Now notice we're used to the elders falling before the Lord. Now it's the four creatures and the 24 elders falling down before the Lamb and offering worship and the impact of the prayers of the saints being heard. They're singing a new song. When God does something new, there should be a new song to express our praise and gratefulness for what he has done. We noticed in chapter 4 that the first song was to God Almighty because of his holy character. That's where we begin in praising God, his uniqueness, his holy character. He's God Almighty, and we go through different attributes of God. That will keep you going a long time in terms of praising God. The second song was a song of praise because he's the creator. He created us. He created all things. And so we praise him for that. Now notice what happens. Chapter 4, it's praise to the one on the throne. Chapter 5, now it's the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was slain, who is worshipped. Why? Because he was slain, because he's brought about redemption and salvation for people. And so they're singing a new song of worship. Like the way Robert Mount says it in his commentary, every new act of mercy calls forth a new song of gratitude and praise. If you've seen and experienced a new act of mercy of God this week, you should have a new song to express gratitude and praise to him for what he has done. And so now these heavenly creatures offering a new song to the Lamb. And they sang this new song, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and break its seals, for you were slaughtered." He was slaughtered on the cross. That's why the lamb imagery, one that seems to be slaughtered and slain, the impact of what he has done, and they acknowledge that he is worthy of this, and they give praise to him for all of this reality. The word for take here can mean either take or receive. In chapter 4, we saw where worthy was the creator to take or receive. In chapter 5, verse 7 and 9, the lamb is taking that scroll that's sealed. And I think here you have this imagery, okay, they're acknowledging the lamb who was slain. You are worthy. In one sense, you don't have to receive it. It's already yours. You can take it anytime you want. And maybe the word possess is appropriate. You're worthy to possess all of these things. You uniquely are worthy of all of this. To take those scrolls and because you were slaughtered, and you purchase people for God with your blood. The word purchase is a word that originally meant to buy from the marketplace. You go into the marketplace and there is a slave there on the block and you buy them, you purchase them and buy them for yourself. Only the imagery here is we're all slaves to sin. And Jesus gave the price for sin was shedding his blood on the cross. That was the purchase price to free us from our sins. He bought us for himself, and they're acknowledging this kind of praise for the saints that the Lord Jesus has bought and all of the people he has bought for himself. Notice there's going to be someone from every tribe, language, people, and nation. There will be representatives in the presence of God who've been saved from their sins from every tribe, people, tongue, and nation over the whole earth. Representatives will be there. That's going to be exciting. Can you imagine worship around the throne with all of the different expressions of culture and praise, all of the differences of people, but that common element of worshiping the Lamb who was slain for us and he purchased us for himself? And you have made them. Now, notice salvation is broader than just being purchased. It certainly begins there that he purchased us for himself when we couldn't offer any purchase price. He did that. But notice beyond that what he does in salvation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. You see, it's not just that we have been set free as slaves. Then in this great plan of salvation, he has made us part of his kingdom where we will reign with him. That's pretty exciting because you might think along with me, well, I don't think like I've reigned over much of anything in this life. This has been a pretty lowly life and not really much of a position at all. And that's the destiny he has for his saints, for his people, which these 24 elders and living creatures are praising him for. You've made those people to rule with you one day, to be part of your kingdom. That's the future he has. And then notice also, he has made us priests. Being a priest means you have direct access to God. You can bring praise directly to God. Folks, you can do that right now. If you want to pray instead of listen to me, you've got direct access to God as a priest to offer prayers to God. You can praise him any place, anytime you want. As a priest, you've got direct access to God. Not just in times of dilemma, but all times you are a priest. You don't have to go through anyone else because the Lamb who was slain has made that available. You have not just been freed from slavery. You are right now a priest. And throughout eternity, you would be involved in the priestly ministry of giving praise and thanks to God. Pretty exciting to be involved in that. When we think in terms of status, we've all got that equal status. We're all equal as priests, sons and daughters of God, direct access to God, knowing we have his ear at all times. And we can go directly into his presence. And that's what they're praising the Lord for. So here's what we need to do. If we're struggling with what to praise God about, look at the salvation that the Lamb that was slain has provided for you. And you can praise God for various aspects of his great salvation. Lord, you bought me. You purchased me out of sin. Lord, I'm part of your kingdom right now. And you've got a place for me right now. Lord, I'm going to reign with you one day. And you've got a position for me. Lord, right now, I'm a priest, and I can come right into your presence. And that's what you've got before me for all eternity. I'm a priest along with my other brothers and sisters who are priests as well. And you're delighted with the praise that we bring. And you can go on and on and on about the different aspects of salvation and what the Lamb has done to bring about this wonderful salvation. It's got so many aspects to it. It's like a brilliant diamond with all different kinds of angles to it and beauty to it. Don't just get caught up with one aspect of it. There's many aspects of salvation that you can praise God for and go back to that again and again. Of course, the reign will be when he comes back and the millennial kingdom he'll set up on earth. But then it will also be into all eternity where we will be reigning with him as well. So if you feel like you're getting a rotten deal today, just think about what is awaiting you in the future. And one sense, you're already in that position of reigning with him, and it will be reality after he returns and you're reigning with him. The next song, verses 11 to 12, it's a song to the Lamb again with countless angels who are participating in this song. And really what's being emphasized here is Christ is worthy to be the focal point. The Lamb who was slain, he is worthy to be the focal point. He's worthy to be in the center. He's the bullseye, if you will, that should be the focal point of the universe. And so we picked it up in verses 11 and 12. John says, I looked and I heard the voices of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. There's lots of loud voices that happen in Revelation. Myriads was the highest number in the Greek and Roman world, 10,000. Although he just heaps it up, 10,000s of 10,000s, and basically it is saying, stop counting. There's no way you can count the number of angels that I saw in this part of the vision surrounding the throne. So now notice how it's getting bigger. It's not just the four creatures, not just the 24 elders. Now, in addition to that, they have been joined by myriads and myriads of angels. So much so you can't count how many are offering praise to the Lamb at this point. And so they too are preoccupied with the worthiness of the Lamb. Why? Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered. And the verb tense here implies that's what he did, and the impact of what he did continues to be the case. Because he was slaughtered, that changes everything. And he is worthy. And he is worthy, and again, we got this word to take or receive or possess. To take or receive or possess all of these things. Because he was slain, we declare his worthiness. Notice what's happening here. The Lamb is being put on the level with God the Father on the throne. And these are angels, countless angels, acknowledging they're both equal in terms of deity. The Lamb that was slain, the Father on the throne, both of them are worthy of praise, and all of the angels in heaven are proclaiming that worthiness and how they are co-equal and deserving the worthiness. In the original language, there's one article, the, that links all of these qualities, attributes together. So worthy is the lamb that was slaughtered to receive the, and then all the others are linked together, power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. And the emphasis is not so much that he needs to receive these things. What you're acknowledging is he already possesses them. He can take it all anytime he wants to. And he is the one that is worthy to possess all of these things. Again, Mount says it this way, power, riches, wisdom, and might are not benefits which the Lamb is about to receive, but qualities he possesses and for which he is worthy to be praised. The last three are more closely related to the response of men and of angels, as in this case, saying he deserves this. He deserves all that is positive to be centered on him. And all of these countless angels are acknowledging that and giving praise to him for all of this. We should proclaim that the Lord Jesus is worthy to be the focal point of everything and not any created being to have that focal point. It's sad to watch how pride ruins many relationships and many people's lives as well. Right now, Rachel and I are watching someone that we care for a lot, and pride is just ruining her life. This desire to be important, the desire to not be corrected, to always be right, and it simply is ruining this person's life. It'll do the same for you. If you want to say, I'm the one who is worthy, I'm the one that things should be focused on, I'm the one that's important, I'm the one that doesn't need correction, and watch it ruin your life. Watch it mess up and foul up your relationships. The angels have it right. The only one who is worthy, the Lamb. He was slain. Boy, that really brings our humility where it should be, doesn't it? The one who would be worthy of saying, I'm not going to be slain, was slain. And in the humility of what he went through ought to just silence us in our pride and realize there's no place for this. It's just going to ruin my relationships and ruin my life. And let's join with the angels and realize the only one who is worthy to be the center focal point, the one who had supreme importance, the one who never needs corrected but lovingly offers correction to us, the Lamb who was slain. And they're acknowledging it. Please, let him be the one who is worthy and give your praise to him as the one who is worthy and humble yourself to recognize it doesn't center around me, it centers around him. And then verses 13 and 14, the final song we look at here. Here we have a song to the one on the throne and the Lamb who was slain from every created thing. In the music world, they have what's called a crescendo. And a crescendo, if you've studied any kind of music, you understand that what you do is you increase and build with more and more force to a high point. And I would suggest we have a crescendo in heaven here, where we've begun in chapter 4 with four living creatures offering praise. And then the 24 elders join in, and then they're together again, not just focused on the one on the throne, but also the Lamb. Then countless angels join them as well, acknowledging the worthiness of the Lamb. And now you've got every created thing joining in. I heard every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them. And now they're speaking to the one on the throne and the Lamb. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be the blessing, the honor, the glory, and the dominion forever and ever. Now, this is not teaching universalism. Universalism believes that everyone is going to be saved. That's simply not true. It'd be a total denial of the book of Revelation and the rest of the Bible as well. There's two ways we can take this, and both of them could make sense. One way they could take this place is every created being is going to be forced. Either you will willingly do it, or you will be forced to acknowledge the worthiness of the one on the throne and the one who is the Lamb that was slain. You will be forced to acknowledge this. The under the earth kind of reinforces that because it can include people in rebellion against him, including demons and everything else, including people who are not believers. Acknowledging that kind of goes along with Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, where the Father has given Jesus the supreme name over everything. So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In other words, will happen to everyone. You will be forced to do it at the judgment before you're sent into hell. And you acknowledge that he is Lord over all and he is worthy. The other way you could understand it is this is just including the ones who have been purchased that were referred to in verse 9. Those who have been purchased, they're from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And all of them now perfected before the Father and the Son at this point, they are acknowledging the one who sits on the throne and the Lamb. And they're saying, you're worthy of the blessing, the honor, and the glory, the last three qualities that were brought out in verse 12. And then also you're worthy of the dominion as well. That would include the reference in verse 12 to the might and the power of the Lamb that he's worthy of. And you're alone acknowledge the Lord's worthiness of ruling over all things. As the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament says of the word dominion, the superior power of God, which the final victory will belong. And now every created thing with the angels acknowledging the one on the throne and the Lamb. You alone deserve all of this glory and honor and blessing and dominion and rule that will have no end. And notice the four living creatures, they kept on saying, amen, let it be so. And they're involved in the worship. And the elders, they keep falling down and worshiping, falling down and acknowledging the worthiness now just not of the Lamb, but also the one on the throne, and just in their posture showing that they are worthy of such praise and honor and glory. And they continue to do this. Wow. This is an incredible crescendo that we reach this high point that God has brought about in his great salvation. And I think one thing that we draw from this last song and the way it all comes together and reaches such a high point is this is where things will be one day. One day, all of God's people and this countless multitude of people will be there. And we will be focused on the Father and focused on the Son, declaring their praise. Now, no doubt you've been in a big concert before, some big gathering, and it's so thrilling to just be there, isn't it? With all of the hordes of people there and involved and caught up in the moment of all the crowds and what they're focused on. Here's the ultimate crowd gathered together, focused on the Father and focused on the Son, the Lamb, and what they've done. And we're going to be part of that one day. And it kind of helps us get through the tough points of this life. We realize that's in the plan in the future. That's coming one day. And I'm going to be part of that crowd. And if you know Jesus, you're going to be part of that crowd too. And it's going to be thrilling. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be excitement. And guess what? It'll never stop. And that's what we have to look forward to one day, being part of that crowd with our place in the crowd. And that's what God has for his people one day. Well, if that's where things are headed, wouldn't it make sense that right now our praise should be focused on the Father and the Son? They deserve the spotlight. Not me, not us. Not anyone else. They deserve the spotlight, and they deserve the eternal rule. You see what this does to your prayer life? You see what this does to your praise life? When you start with chapter 4 and you say, God Almighty, you are holy, holy, holy. And you go through all of the different attributes of God that you can think of, and you worship him for that. Boy, does that energize you. His uniqueness. And then you start to think, and you're the creator. You made me, you made us, you made everything. You're worthy to possess all of this and be given all this praise. And then on top of all that, your son was slain for me. You bought me. And you didn't just buy me off the slave block. I'm part of your kingdom. I'm going to rule with you. I rule right now, and I will rule in the fullness one day. And I'm a priest right now. I thought God wasn't concerned at all about my prayers, but now I realize every child of God is equally a priest. And there's no end to that position right now and in the future, offering these praises and prayers to you. And I acknowledge that Jesus alone is the focal point. He's the hub. He's the center. He deserves it of worship. And I acknowledge the one on the throne along with him is the one who needs to be the center and focal point of our praises. Let's praise him. And here's a great way to begin. Just take ascriptions like this. Take these right here and just say, Lord, you're worthy of all these things. I know at times I'm tempted to want to be in that position myself and have that kind of importance, that kind of glory, but I realize I'm not worthy of that. None of us are, but you are. And it helps you put yourself in the right place, and that's a healthy place to be. Because you then realize life is going to make more sense because you're in the center rather than me trying to be in the center. And you deserve that center place. So let that be the preoccupation. And you could this afternoon could just say you're worthy of this and this and this and go on for a long time with all the things that he possesses and he's worthy to take and receive from us. I think also the implications are, if he is the one who is worthy to be in the center and he's in the center, shouldn't that reflect in our lives right now? That the Father and the Son should be the focal point of our lives. And here's how it plays out. When God is prompting you, saying, I want you to do this, if we respond, I don't want to do that, who's in the center? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this amazing worship in heaven that right now we can enter into. And I pray that you would receive from the overflow of our hearts gratefulness and praise for all that you've done. We worship the Lamb as worthy. We worship you on the throne as worthy. Through the precious name of your Son and what he has done. Amen.
In closing and in response, let's stand and sing, He is Lord, number 34. Every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. Let's sing.
He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. Shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
As my Savior and Lord, today could be your day. As the scripture says, now is the day of salvation. So let it be today that you call upon the Lord, and he becomes your Lord and your Savior, the Lamb who was slain for you. and you could be part of his kingdom and a priest with direct access to God through his son. And I would encourage you to seek one of us out if you need help in taking that step of faith. And I encourage you too, if you're a Christian and you are in that relationship, but you don't have the Lord as the focal point, you're the focal point, not a healthy place to be. And you could turn to him, ask for forgiveness, and say, I surrender, I say yes to you. I want you to be in the center. I don't want to be in the center. Healthy place to be. Father, thank you that we can worship you and that you receive our worship from sincere hearts with delight. And we pray, Lord, that we can take these chapters of Scripture and they'll just enliven our worship to you and our response to you, both as Homo Church and our individual worship of you that will take place through the week. Transform us by your wonderful truths through the name of your Son, the Lamb who was slain for us. Amen.